Amen?
Amen.
And before we begin our worship time, or our lesson time rather, I want to just remind you, next Sunday afternoon, 5 o'clock, Brian will be hosting the movie Firefruit, so keep that in mind. Popcorn will be here. Just come out and enjoy a great, great movie. So just a reminder to you on that. We're talking about Crazy Love, a book by the fellow by the name of Francis Chan that really helped us to focus on this relentless love that God has for His creation. And part of what we're trying to do in this study is to get to know God better in relationship, because that's what God wants with us. He doesn't care about religion. That's not what God wants from us. He wants a relationship with you. Okay? And further, what we're trying to do is to learn how to love God and to love His creation from the heart, to love each other. Jesus said, when asked what is the greatest commandment, He said, that's it right there. Love the Lord your God with everything within you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Love Him and love His creation. And so this is all about God's crazy love for us, and then how we are to take that same crazy love and give it to one another. We've been kind of looking at this from the standpoint of trying to get to know this God that we pray to a little bit better, and trying to figure out and find out some more things about Him. What is He really like? Who is this God that created us? And what are His characteristics, and what are the attributes of this God that we worship and that deserves our love? Because that's really what it's all about. We're trying to answer the question, why does He deserve our worship and our love and our obedience? Why? See, and the more we study these things, then hopefully the more our love and our worship and our obedience will be directed toward Him fully and faithfully in our daily lives. This morning, we're talking about a lukewarm church. Okay? In the text that Charles read for us from Revelation chapter 3, he's writing that to the whole church, the church at Laodicea. And so what I want to think about this morning as we're looking at this is be thinking about in terms of us as a church body. In other words, if Jesus were writing a letter to the church, not at Laodicea, but the church at Edge Hill, what would He write to us? And especially, would He perhaps write some of the things that He said to the church at Laodicea to us? We need to look at this as a church body, but then also, you know, a church is made up of individuals, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah. We are the church. And so then in order for a church to become or to be lukewarm, it's got to have individuals who are lukewarm. In order for it to be hot, its individuals have to be hot. In order for it to be cold, they have to be cold. So this is not only for the church at large, but it's also for each one of us as parts of this body of Christ here, right? So, you know, hot, cold, or lukewarm, what is it? You know, I think one of the problems in Christianity today is that there are too many preachers out here that are preaching for the crowds. And I don't mean just simply that they're trying to give a message at the crowd, but their goal is to have as big of a church as they possibly can get. In church that I worked for before coming here, we had a fellow that was our preaching minister, and that's basically all he did. He preached. I did all the rest of the ministry stuff, but he was our preaching minister, and he traveled. Basically, he traveled all through the week, and he would go to churches all over the country, and he would give lectures and seminars and things of that nature. And then on Sunday, he would come back, and he would preach. And he would tell us about the place where he was. He said, I was at this church in so-and-so place this past week, and this church started out, and they had 150 members, and they went to 5,000 members in 3 years or 4 years, and this is how they did that. And that's what we need to do here. And then he'd be off the next day, and he'd all go somewhere else, and the next Sunday he'd come back. It was almost like, you know, you knew what he was going to preach about every Sunday, because that's all he talked about, was having this big mega church. That's what he wanted. And prior to us even going there to the church, he, you know, convinced the congregation there to buy some land out by the interstate, because he really had in his mind, he wanted to preach for a mega church. That's what his goal was. And unfortunately, that's what's happening with a lot of churches and a lot of preachers today. Oh yeah, in order to do that, you have to tell them what they want to hear, so they'll come back and they'll bring their friends and say, oh yeah, you can go to this church, and they really say a lot of great things. And they don't require a whole lot of you. See, a lot of people like that message. But that's the kind of thing that leads to lukewarmness. You see, Jesus did just the opposite. Jesus was not interested in gathering large crowds. Jesus didn't care about the numbers.
That's right.
You see? So Jesus did not preach to tell people what they wanted to hear just so they would follow him. In fact, Jesus preached in a way that would weed out those who were insincere.
That's right.
In other words, he wanted to thin out the crowds, not just gather a bunch of people for the sake of saying, hey, look at all these people I got following. That's why Jesus used the symbol of the cross. And he said to those who would follow after him, take up your cross and follow me. Because anybody in that day who heard a message about a cross, they knew that that was a symbol of death. And that's all that a cross stood for, was death. And so to tell people to take up their cross and to follow me, man, you need to be willing to follow me to your death. Amen. And they understood that.
Amen.
And that's why a lot of people didn't follow Jesus. See? Jesus doesn't want fans. He wants followers. Mm-hmm. It's really easy to get big crowds. But it's not so easy to get true followers. And that's what Jesus was and still is after, is true followers of him. And that's why he called upon those who would follow him to die to themselves. Take up your cross daily and follow me. So, as we look at this idea of being lukewarm, we need to look at it, first of all, from the standpoint of how repugnant it is to God. So I call this the repugnancy of lukewarm. See? And we start out with a parable that Jesus told. Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the pearl of great price. And I want you to notice a couple of things about this parable. Jesus says there's a merchant who went out looking for fine pearls. And so what Jesus indicates, first of all, is that this fella was actively searching for pearls. Okay? Now, another thing about him is that he recognized the true value of pearls. I can imagine that someone who is out actively searching for pearls has probably seen hundreds, if not thousands, of pearls as they are searching. But he's actively out there looking and searching for those pearls, looking for the pearls of the greatest value. And then he says, when he found that one pearl of great value, he went and sold everything that he had, and he bought that one pearl. So he's actively searching. He recognizes the value, and he's willing to give up everything in order to have that one of great value. When it comes to the kingdom of God, and that's what this parable is all about, because Jesus begins it by saying the kingdom of heaven is life, okay? But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, I'm afraid that many Christians today don't actively search for it. And I think the reason they don't actively search for it is because they don't recognize its true value. And when you don't recognize the true value of something, then you're not really going to be willing to give up very much for it. But the opposite is true. When you truly do realize the value of something, then you're willing to pay whatever it costs to acquire that which you recognize as being of true value. So let's talk about the lukewarm Christian. That's what Jesus is addressing in his letter to the church at Laodicea. Those who are lukewarm. And Jesus says, because you are lukewarm, you're neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. And so that kind of would help to give us the idea of how repugnant being lukewarm really is to God. He says, look, I would rather you be cold than to be lukewarm. I want you to be either hot or cold, but not lukewarm. You see? That's how detestable being lukewarm is to God. I'd rather you be cold. In other words, not have anything to do with me than to be in the middle, to be lukewarm. You know what lukewarm really is? And I think why it's so repugnant to God? Because lukewarm is comfortable. It's not hot. You know, you ever turned on the water, you let it go, and you want to get the water hot, but not too hot that burns you. I don't want it too hot, and you certainly don't want it cold. So where do you want it? I want to be able to wash my hands and want it just warm enough so it's comfortable. You see? That's what lukewarm is. It's comfortable. And God doesn't want comfortable Christians. He wants us to be hot. And if we're not going to be hot, He would prefer that we be cold, that we have nothing to do with Him. You see? Rather than us just going along being comfortable in our religion. You see, lukewarmness is our enemy. It really is. And I think one of the reasons it's our enemy is because what it does is it promotes self-reliance instead of God-reliance. I don't need God because I've got everything together. I can take care of myself. Now, I don't know too many Christians. I haven't met too many Christians that actively come out verbally and say that. I don't really need God. I just go to church for the entertainment. Now, we typically don't say that. I need God. But then we live as if we really don't. Because we can take care of it ourselves. And we don't really rely on God. We tend to rely on ourselves. That's why we worry about how much money we have all the time. Read an article that said 26% of adults in America worry about money as their top stressor in their lives. Money. You see? Why? Because money represents self-sufficiency. If I could just get enough money, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything. Why do lottery tickets sell as much as they do? Because it represents self-sufficiency. If I could just win the lottery, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything. You see? God wants us to learn to depend upon Him. Look at what he says in verse 17 of his letter to the church there in Laodicea. It talks about this self-sufficiency. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. See, that's the reliance on my wealth and upon myself rather than upon God. And he says, that's what you're saying. But you don't even realize. He goes on to say, you don't even realize that you are poor, that you are wretched, that you are miserable, poor, blind, and naked. That's the reality of those who are looking at their wealth and their self-sufficiency. He says, your condition, you don't even realize what it is, and this is what it is. You're blind, you're poor, you're wretched, you're naked, you're miserable. Oh, you think life is great, but this is the reality. And that's what happens when we're lukewarm. Okay? And that's why Jesus basically says this. Put it in our common language today. He says, I'll spit you out of my mouth. We say, it makes him hurl. That's how detestable being lukewarm is to our Lord. Well, what is exactly lukewarmness? When we talk about this idea of lukewarm, what really is that in terms of how we're actually living our lives? What does that really mean? So let's take a look at a profile, so to speak. Okay? But before we do that, let me just ask you a question. How much of Jesus do you really want to know? Okay? How much of him do you really want to know? Think about that question for a second. And here's why I'm asking that. You know, the Apostle Paul makes this statement. He says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Now, I think most Christians are really liking that statement. I mean, that's a good statement, right? And most Christians would say, yeah, I want to know the power of Jesus' resurrection. Why? Because we talked about in an earlier lesson, when we die, we typically want to go to heaven, right? And so, yeah, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, because when I die, I want to go to heaven. I want to be a part of the resurrection and be able to go to him. But what does he say after that? I also want to know the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings. You go, whoa, wait a minute. Wait a minute, I don't mind the power of the resurrection part, but now you're talking about suffering? I'm not sure if I want to know him that well. And then the very last part, to becoming like him in his death? Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That's a little bit too much. I don't want to know Jesus that much in that well. So the question, as we begin to look at this kind of a profile of what lukewarmness is all about, is this question: how well do you really want to know him? Do you want to know him this well, or would you rather just know part of him? The part that doesn't include suffering and death. In other words, you want Jesus without the cross. Okay? You see, most people don't mind the fact that Jesus died for them, but they don't want to suffer for him. Okay? So again, how well do you really want to know Christ in your life? And again, that's what this whole study is all about, is getting to know God in relationship, right? Well, this is part of it. Is knowing him in a relationship that involves the suffering part and the dying part. Okay? Francis Chan, in his chapter, in his book, Crazy Love, on this particular chapter on this, gives a lot of descriptions that he's come up with that basically he kind of throws out there as descriptions of lukewarm people, as he calls them. Okay? So I want to take a look at some of those things that he's that he has in his book there, in his chapter. You know, as he describes them, I want us to take a look at those, okay? Because it's all about following Jesus and deciding whether it is we want to take up his cross, or whether we'd rather just be comfortable with our religion. So let's take a test, all right? The Apostle Paul calls upon us to test ourselves, okay? And look at what he says here. Examine yourself to see whether or not you are in the faith. Okay? Are you really in the faith? Do you not know that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? So let's take a test. And let's look at these descriptions of lukewarm people and see if perhaps any of those apply to us as a body or to us as individuals. Right? Lukewarm people. First of all, he says lukewarm people attend church fairly regularly. It is what is expected of them. What they believe good Christians do, so they go. In other words, lukewarm Christians are comfortable going to church because that's what Christians are supposed to do. They go to church, you see? So Sunday morning comes along and it's time to go to church, so we go to church because that's what we're supposed to do. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus says this: these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. See, in other words, what we need to understand is that Jesus is not interested in how many times you go to church. Just like he's not interested in religion. Now, does that mean, well, great, Russ just said we don't have to go to church. No, that's not what I said. If that's all you're doing, then forget it. See, we're going to thin out the crowd, okay? Because Jesus wants more from you than just going to church. Lukewarm people are content to just go to church. And that's not what Jesus wants from us. Lukewarm people tend to choose what is popular over what is right when they're in conflict. They desire to fit in both at church and outside the church. They care more about what people think of their actions, like church attendance and giving, than what God thinks of their hearts and lives. In Luke 6, Jesus said, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for that is how their fathers treated the false prophets." But you see, again, are we content? We like it when people say good things about us, even people that are out in the world, because that makes us comfortable. And if I get too hot for the Lord, then people are going to call me a Jesus freak or something, and or they'll stop talking to me, or whatever the case may be. Lukewarm people rarely share their faith with their neighbors or co-workers or friends, he says. They do not want to be rejected, nor do they want to make people uncomfortable by talking about private issues like religion. You see, we can talk about baseball or basketball or football or the latest recipes or the latest episode of our favorite TV show or whatever else it is, but don't talk about the Lord, because that makes people uncomfortable. "Whoever acknowledges me before men," Jesus says, "I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Lukewarm people gauge their morality or goodness by comparing themselves to the secular world. They feel satisfied that while they aren't as hardcore for Jesus as somebody else is, they are nowhere as horrible as that guy down the street. So in other words, lukewarm people tend to look at themselves and then look at other people and go, "I'm not as bad as they are, so I guess I'm okay." Jesus told a parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. He said, the Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, "God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, robbers and evildoers and adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get." As Jesus concluded that parable, he asked the people that were listening to him, "Which one of these two men went away justified?" He told about the tax collector who fell to his knees and prayed, "Lord, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner." Which one went away justified? You see? It doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. Okay? What matters is what we're doing before God. Lukewarm people say they love Jesus, and he is indeed a part of their lives, but only a part. They give him a section of their time, of their money, and their thoughts, but he isn't allowed to control their lives. Jesus said to all of them, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself," and there it is again, "take up his cross daily and follow me." Why? "For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it." We want to hang on to control, and we want to be comfortable in our lives. Jesus says, "No, it can't be that way. If you're going to follow me, you got to learn to be uncomfortable, because you got to take up your cross and follow me." Lukewarm people think about life on earth much more than eternity in heaven. Daily life is mostly focused on today's to-do list. this week's schedule and next month's vacation. Rarely, if ever, do they intently consider the life to come. Amen. The Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 said, "Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.
Amen.
Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things."
Amen.
Well, you see, again, where do we look? Where are we focusing? Is it the stuff in the world and what we've got going on? And what's on my calendar today or tomorrow or whatever? Are those things important for us to keep in mind and what's going on in our lives? Absolutely. But when that's the main focus of our lives, then we're in trouble. Lukewarm people do whatever is necessary to keep themselves from feeling too guilty. They want to do the bare minimum, to be good enough without requiring too much of them. Jesus, as he stood out there watching the people put their money into the collection plate, said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put in more than all the others. All these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, gave all she had to live on." She gave up everything, which showed a tremendous trust in God. You see, when we're content to give out of our wealth, we look at that and say, "Oh yeah, see how much I gave." But they didn't miss it at all, because they're self-reliant. And this is the response that lukewarm people, lukewarm churches, will get from Jesus in judgment. Saying, "I will spit you out of my mouth," he says. Now, that's pretty kind of gloom, isn't it? You know, looking at all that and going, maybe some of our toes are hurting a little bit. And as I've told you before, I don't apologize for stepping on toes. Okay? I don't do it to hurt people, but I do it to challenge us to think about where we are in our relationship with God. And the reason is, ultimately, because it's a message of hope. If we continue to be lukewarm, this is going to be the result. But the good thing is, and the good message is, that God doesn't want us, not only does He not want us to be lukewarm, He wants to reheat us. Okay? And so lukewarm can be reheated. You know, you take that old pizza out of the box, out of the refrigerator that you had the night before, and what do you do with it? You put it in the oven and you put it in the microwave so you can reheat it. Now, I know some of you like cold pizza, all right? I can't do that. All right? I got to have it reheated. Cold chicken, my wife loves cold chicken. I like it heated, all right? So I like to put it in there and let's heat that stuff up. And that's what God is telling us. As we continue in this letter that He writes to the church in Laodicea, God's saying, let's heat things up again. He doesn't want you to remain lukewarm if that's where you are. And He doesn't want us as a church to be lukewarm. So He offers us a way to be reheated, okay? So lukewarm can become hot again, but it needs a revival. We need a revival. Look at what Jesus says in the next verses here. The next two verses as He goes on. Actually, through verse 21. First part He says here, "I counsel you," again, keep in mind, He's talking to those who He's already identified as being lukewarm. Those who He said, "Look, if you don't change this, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth." And to those people, this is the message of hope that He says. I love this. "I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire." Okay? And not only that, all right? He says, "so that you can be rich." In other words, stop worrying about the gold out there that the world has to offer and buy it from me. Then you will truly be rich.
Amen.
You say, then you'll truly be. You think you're rich now, as he talked about in the previous verse. You think you're rich, you're self-sufficient. No, you don't know where you are. You're miserable, wretched, and poor. He says, buy gold from me. Then you will truly be rich. But look what else he says here. Talk about the clothing. He says, buy white garments. That what? That you may be clothed. That the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And then, buy salve for your eyes. Say, that you may see. In other words, Jesus is offering a way for us to be healed and to be reheated. So that we won't be lukewarm, but rather we will be hot for Him. God wants to reheat the passion that you once had for Him, if that's where you are. He wants to reheat that. Look at what He says in verse 19 here. Okay? As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Why? Look at what He says here. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. That's that crazy love that we've been talking about that God has for us. He says, look, you know, you've been lukewarm in your life, and you think that you've got it all together because you're basing it on yourself, but I love you so much, I'm willing to take you back if you'll just repent, and you'll come to me and take what I have to offer you. And Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and be with him. And so Jesus invites us. He's knocking at the door, he says. All we've got to do is open the door and let him in. Let him back in to our hearts. And then here's the best part. Verse 21. He who overcomes, in other words, he who gets hot again, who overcomes their lukewarmness, okay? He who overcomes, I will give to him to sit with me on my throne. Okay? He gets to sit on my throne here. And in the same way as I overcame and I sit on my Father's throne, then that person who overcomes, who gets reheated, you say, I'll get them to sit on my throne with me. So, you see, here's what it's about. It's about that test that we mentioned earlier, that every single one of us really needs to take an honest appraisal of where we are in our relationship with God. Am I trying to rely on myself instead of relying on God? Am I trying to please the world instead of pleasing God? Am I trying to just live comfortably in my religion? If any of those things apply, my message to you this morning is, please, please repent and buy gold and garments and salve from God. So you can be reheated. So that, yes, when you die, and we're all going to, then you get to sit on the throne with Him. And I don't know about you, but that's a whole lot better option than to be spit out of His mouth. If we remain lukewarm. I don't know where you are in your relationship with God right now. But I do know this. Wherever you are, myself included, I know that my relationship with God can be better and stronger. And so this is an opportunity for all of us, any of us, to seek that stronger relationship with God, and especially if we find ourselves in this category, being lukewarm Christians. Don't allow yourself to stay there. Okay. We're going to stand in just a moment and sing a song, an invitation song. Ray's going to lead to us, and the invitation is open. if you see yourself in any of these positions, anywhere we've been talking about, you recognize and you have a desire to be reheated by God, and certainly that opportunity is available to you right now. I'll be up front to receive anyone. If you'd like to come up and have a prayer with everybody, if Dale will be in the back, if you'd like to have a private prayer conversation with him. And for anybody that's here this morning that has not yet given your life to Christ, then I'm here to tell you right now that you can do that this morning, right now. If you're ready to make a commitment to follow Jesus, to take up your cross and to follow Him, then call upon Jesus as Lord of your life. Repent of the sin that's separating you from Him. And have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. And we have that water that's ready right now. And all you got to do is come up and let us know. As we stand and sing this song, please come up and let me know whatever.